This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good morning. Yes, it's Detours time. You are on Joy 94.9. This is the studio for Detours, Australia's longest running game listening travel show.
Travel agents.
I know, Lynn, it's good fun making mistakes, but that's all right. We've been here for, perhaps we're in our 15th year now. It's such a long time. But we're here every week, 12 noon, and you can interact with us on 0427 Joy 949 for SMS messages or send your emails through to onair@joy.org.au. And how are you, Lindsay?
I'm a pretty bonzer, thanks, Greg. I mean, look at the beautiful winter morning we have this morning. It's fabulous, isn't it? Gary and I were having a quick chat about it. Our guests today were having a quick chat about it in the lift. And I've just spent another couple of days up at beautiful Trentham, where I think it got to about 5 degrees. And but I have to admit that I was in Daylesford yesterday. We did afternoon tea in Daylesford, and it was about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was just rocking. So it just goes to show that the weather doesn't put people off from going to places like Daylesford and anywhere else around Victoria for a weekend away. So I just think that's fabulous. And they were really, you know, the winter fashions up there are rather divine.
Oh, divine fashions.
Absolutely.
Now, Gary Oliver, that little chuckle we heard there was Gary Oliver. Welcome to the Detour Studio, Gary.
Thanks, Greg. Lindsay?
Yes, and do you wear divine winter fashions
yourself?
Divine
winter fashions.
I'd like to, but despite having a mother who was a dressmaker by trade in the days when you didn't go to a shop and right off the rack, I haven't inherited her good taste in terms of dress sense, I don't think.
Excellent. Now, today, Gary, we're going to unpack a little bit about you, your life's journeys, your travel, your story. We're also going to unpack about the nomads. You're very much part of the nomads. Who are they?
They're a group that's been around for over 30 years, predominantly men. We do have some women guests occasionally, but for those who'd like to join a women's only group, I'd like to give a plug to our sister group, the Wayward Women's Walkers.
The Wayward Women's Wayward. Walkers.
Wayward Women, now you're talking.
Now, if you go into your search engine, the Wayward Women were one of five groups at Bushwalking Victoria, the umbrella group for bushwalking clubs. Sponsored them and four other clubs to develop a new website at discounted prices. So find a search engine and put in Wayward Women, and I'm sure you'll quickly find their new website.
Awesome. And we'll remind you about that later on. You've got to stay with us for a whole hour today. We've got an amazing gathering of thoughts and experiences that we're going to have from Gary. Gary, of course, gets up at 4:30 every morning, don't you, Gary?
I used to.
Now, why was that?
Well, for my past sins as a teenager, our family had a small dairy mixed farm, and part of the job was we had to milk the cows before I caught the school bus at 5 to 8. And if I missed the school bus, then it was a long way into Shepparton, the area I grew up in, to get to school.
You're an irrigated dairy farm, were you?
Irrigated dairy farm, yes, with fluke in the water. So when we killed the sheep once a fortnight, was it lamb's fry and bacon that fortnight? Yes or no, depending on how much fluke was in the in the sheep's liver. So that was my mum's job, was to test the liver to see whether it was edible or not. If not, it went to the pigs.
Dare I ask how she checked the liver?
You make a few insertions into the liver and just open it up to make sure that the fluke is a white lump. Mm. And if there were no white lumps in the liver, then it was okay. One white lump, and she was very fussy, it was out.
Well, it was transferable to humans,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. And the irrigation water, the parasites and stuff in the irrigation water was how the sheep picked up the fluke. So every now and then my dad would go into the Shepparton sale yards and pick up a dozen, 15 sheep, pretty scraggy ones. We'd put them into a back paddock, fatten them up over the next few months, and the fattest one on the Friday night got selected for slaughter at 10 o'clock.
Oh, stop. See, I could not do that. I just could not do that. Well, while I was up in Trenton this week, there was an ad on TV that I had a bit of a chuckle about, and it was about a drug that you can give to lambs and, I suppose, young sheep, and it's to prevent arthritis. And like, who would ever think that lambs and sheep would have arthritis? It's quite a quirky ad. Like, I get, you know, go up there just to see this ad with, you know, Sharma's running around with blindfolds on. But I was just amazed that, you know, they have this amazing drug for lambs with arthritis, but they don't give it to humans. So I was a little bit sort of annoyed about that. But, Gary, one of the things that really fascinates me is, like, when you left the farm, how long did you continue waking up at 4:30 in the morning? Was that something that you do now? It's just so ingrained, that internal clock?
Not quite as bad as 4:30, but I'm a regular waker at around about 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, because it sort of gets in doesn't it?
Yeah.
So when you finally left the farm, did the family sell up, or did you just say, look, I'm 18 and I'm out of here?
No, we leased the farm. It wasn't large enough to be self-sustaining, so it was a sort of second job for my dad. My parents were battlers, came across from Yay, where they'd married, and settled in the Goulburn Valley. And after that, we then took over a small milk bar grocery store in Shepparton. Mm. And when I finished high school, I came to Melbourne for a career, and 2 years later, they sold the business.
Awesome.
So I've been a chick-out chick. slicing ham. The funniest thing was when women would come in and, is your mother there, dear? And I knew what they'd wanted. It was ladies' personal products, but they wouldn't dare ask me to go and get them from the grocery section.
Wow.
That asked for your mum.
That asked for my mum. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask Gary, before we play a little bit of music for you, because it's a fantastic piece of music, so stay with us for this. But Gary, when you travel, I'm a bit of a farm boy myself, so when I travel, I actually can't help but look at the farms and look at what's happening rurally. Have you done that in your journeys?
Oh, good, yeah. I'm a very visual person. I can sit there, and I've been across Nullarbor on the Pacific Indian Pacific train. I'll sit and look for hours on end. I might have, these days now, I'll cart around and have headphones on, have music, but I've still got to look out the window. And my last train trip was from Paris to Amsterdam for 3 hours. And looking at the rural countryside, trying to work out what the various crops were and how they'd planted them and the markings and tractor marks and things like that. Still look at all that.
And I bet too, because one of the things, I've done that train trip, and one of the things you notice about the land in Holland is just how flat it is.
Yeah.
Like, it is as flat as a tack. And I was like, because I was there just at the beginning of the Tulip Festival, so it was amazing because, you know, you'd look at these paddocks and they were just, you know, colour and movement, everything else. Then you'd look at the next one, there's a couple of tired old cows, you know, so chomping away. It's a good trip, that one.
It is.
It's a great trip. Now, we've got a bit of music here. We're going to play a fabulous new track by Mika. It's with Pharrell Williams, who's helped to write this particular song. And it's for you, Gary Oliver, our special guest today, but it's also for Luke Garn, who's listening out there. And Luke's busy out there involved with today's election. I think it's a by-election in Melbourne.
Mm.
But we're going to celebrate. Well, someone's going to celebrate tonight. It's either going to be Jennifer Canis from Labor or it's going to be the Greens. Either way, you're on Joy 94.9 with Detours, Lindsay and Greg. You're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg, and our guest, very special guest today, is Gary Oliver from the Nomads. And that music, of course, Gary, was Celebrate with Mika featuring Pharrell Williams. Great song. It's new to the Joy lineup, and you'll hear it again, particularly if you request it. Now, Gary, a farm boy, and you've travelled the world and you've looked at farms around the world, and you're a bit of a outdoorsy type person with Nomads. How did you get involved with the Nomads? What was the thing that whet your appetite for outdoors and hiking and all those things?
A friend of mine who's now deceased many years ago dragged me along to a few of the events when it was less structured and more informal in its early days, and I enjoyed that. And then about 6 years ago, I decided I needed to do more than just cycle and swim. I wanted something a bit different as in the itinerary, and outdoor bushwalking was an attraction. It sounded good, so I thought I'll give it a try, and still there.
You're still there?
Still there. It's surprising when I sort of reflect back on those 6 years. I've been to parts of Victoria, and mainly the activities are in Victoria, places I would never have gone to on my own, and some of the walks you're slogging away, but doing with friends and companions and just seeing different parts of the state, it's good for education, fresh air, and a bit of exercise.
What are your favourite parts of Victoria?
Oh, too many.
Too many.
One of our committee persons has a holiday home down Yanaki, and once a year they throw the house open, and there can be from anywhere between 10 to 20 bodies lying on the lounge room floor and sleeping bags. And so lots of walk around Wilson's Promontory area where Yanaki sits. And there's a massive big sand dune area down there that I never knew existed, would never have found it on my own. And memories of Lawrence of Arabia came flooding back as we scrambled up and down these sand dunes. It was fantastic. Hard work walking on sand, but exhilarating just the same. The adrenaline rush was great, just to find this massive big area of pure sand in the middle of nowhere.
It's amazing because, I haven't travelled a lot around Victoria. And I was saying earlier, when I was younger, my grandparents used to take me away every Christmas. So I got to see an awful lot. And when you grow up, being a surfy chick, I tended to hang out down the coast more than anything. But one of the things about Victoria, Gavin, you'll agree, is that you never really have to leave Victoria because, there's Alps where you can ski. We've got a little desert. There's those amazing walks. There's Wilson's Promontory. There's the Flinders Ranges. There's the amazing surf coast that we have. Really, if you want to see anything in the world, you can see it basically in Victoria.
Yeah, can. And we mostly have an activity most Sundays. And unless it's a long weekend when there's overnight camping, most of the walks or activities are an hour, hour and a half max from Melbourne. And we encourage carpooling and sharing for economical as well as ecological, environmental reasons. Mm. And that's amazing. You can be another area that's spectacular is the back of Warrigal around that Mount Worth, Strathlyke Ranges area. There's stunning views, and it's always green up there compared to where I grew up. Without the irrigation, it's brown and flat. The gold mining areas around Castlemaine, Dalesford, there's oodles and oodles of walks around there. An hour's drive and you're there, and away you can go. So, and we have some very enthusiastic leaders that know these parts, that are aficionados, know all these little back lanes and alleyways that plan some very interesting walks.
And last week we had Sarah in, and she's done the
Mount Cradle
in Tasmania. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was fabulous. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was the amount of preparation that went into that walk, which was 5 days. But nonetheless, the walks that you guys do, there still needs to be a certain amount of preparation.
That's up to the event leader to plan that. Mm-hmm. So they're encouraged to go out and do a reconnaissance exercise as close as possible to the event to make sure there are no changes. For example, we've had to rearrange walks or reschedule in the last couple of years in central Victoria when rivers are flooded, when we've had the big floods, and all of a sudden fords and walkways and bridges are either washed out or covered over, so you've got to have backup plans. So, there's plenty of work. And we do a write-up. We have a quarterly newsletter. Each event is spelled out. There are map references so people can find where to go. There's a meeting point spelled out. Normally the time to meet is 10:30, so you're not up at too early to get there. And each event is graded as easy, medium or hard so that people can judge what they want to do and how far they want to go.
Give us an example of a hard one. What's a difficult walk?
Probably one I could think of would be around Mount Disappointment, up the Hume Freeway in the back of Heathcote Kilmore area there. You've got some, in the middle of winter, it could be sloppy and muddy, and you've got some very steep inclines where for 45, 50 minutes, you're just going straight, straight up. or another area in the back of in some of the central areas, you'll find that there'll be the terrain will be gravelly. So walking on small stones can be slippery, and you've got to be a bit more careful. So, and if it's you've got inclines and ascents and descents, sometimes coming down is harder than walking up in terms of pressure on your knees and ankles. There's one out the back of Powtown. For those who don't know where Powtown is, it's off from Launching Place. There's three great history walks in area where they logged, and there's one where they used to roll the logs down the hill, and coming down that's about a 45 minute descent all the way down, and you're a very, very stiff gradient. So quite often you'll be walking, coming down that sideways rather than going straight down. You'll step it out in a sideways type movement just to keep the pressure off your knees and ankles and maintain your...
God.
So,
you know, I'd be the whiz on in the... I can't go on.
And hopefully you're doing that section when you've had lunch and your backpack's a little bit lighter.
God, I just... This stuff just has me in awe of these people, because I love walking, you know, like I love walking around the city, and, you know, I've been to Dandenongs and done that walk, da-da-da. But, and I have to admit, you know, and I think there's a lot of women out there that will agree with me, that every time you see an ad, you know, a classified ad for a woman, it always is, you know, romantic dinners and bushwalks. And you sort of go, oh, my God, bushwalks, no, you know, take me to a nightclub and let's dance or something. But it's absolutely fascinating, because it's such great exercise. And really, Gary, you know, when you look at the sort of stereotypical view that a lot of people do have of gay men and, you know, gay women, but gay men especially, you know, it must be a very, very camp afternoon to be out there with those boys walking. That's all I can say.
Oh, it can be. Well, for those who are more city-oriented, one of the good walks, I didn't lead it. I'll talk about two. One is from park to park. Starting at Royal Park at the Zoo Railway Station, ending up at Albert Park. And you walk through Parkville, Carlton, through the city, around the back of the MCG and the Botanical Gardens. Fabulous way to see some of the great architecture and streetscapes in our city. And we stop and look at the Burke and Wills marker that's in Royal Park, a blob of bluestone cobbled together that most of us would whiz past if we were driving our car.
Which was the first place they actually set camp up for the night before heading off.
They left from there and they headed off with their tables and chairs and all the other crap and got as far as Mooney Pond in their first and stayed at Mooney Ponds. And I organised the walk this year. We do a community walk as part of Midsummer. And this year we started at Victoria Gardens in North Richmond, and then ended up at the Fairfield Boathouse. But we zigzagged our way through Kew, and I put together about four pages of notes on all the historic buildings and sites that we saw. For example, we stopped and looked at the Studley Park Vineyard on the banks of the Yarra. There's a vineyard on the banks of the Yarra, 4 km
Is
from the city.
Is it really?
Yes.
Get out of the pool.
That grows Cabernet Sauvignon grapes.
Really?
Yes.
God, did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
So I gave the boys, we didn't have any women on that one, so, and we looked at John Wren's house, Raheen, the Dick Pratt, the late Dick Pratt owns. Mm. A couple of great big mansions that are now owned by the Catholic Church and turned into institutions. So gave them all of that. Some history of crossings of the Yarra, the bridges at Johnston Street. We zigzagged our way through the banks of the Yarra, around the back blocks and across into through Willsmere Estate.
Oh, awesome.
Which was built in 1879, has the north as the southern suburbs answer to the Fairfield Lunatic Asylum.
Mm.
So if you go where the old Fairley Women's Prison was, across the road from that was the first lunatic asylum in Melbourne. That got crowded, so they built one at Kew on the southern side.
Yeah.
Beautiful old. The main building has been kept, and that's now Kew Heights Housing Estate, and they've turned the old building into apartments. So we zigzagged our way through that across a footbridge into Fairfield.
Now we've got a question from Steve O from Collingwood here in Melbourne, Australia, who's SMS'd 0427JOY949. I think he's probably used his Android or his iPhone app. And he said, can we ask Gary about the nude hiking trips? Now, certainly you didn't do the nude hiking trips from park to park through the centre of Melbourne, did you?
I don't think the police would be very happy if we did that. And we might have a few nomads having holiday, one of Her Majesty's unofficial holiday camps.
Yeah, but the rest of gay Melbourne would probably appreciate it, very genuinely, I'd say.
But for Steve, please tell us about them.
They mainly occur in the warmer months. There's not too much opportunity or request for nude walks in winter. But come, say, November through till March, there'll be a series of nude walks.
Is that like totally nude? Like,
yes. Ooh. Yes. For those who want to check them out, there might be the odd picture or two if they join up as a member on the Nomads website.
So do you take small steps or big steps when you're walking in the nude?
Whatever your feet will wear, it will fit to.
I don't even understand that question, Greg.
Look, you hear it all on Detours here with Jodie and with Lindsay and Greg. Jodie's off on assignment today. And our guest is Gary Oliver. Stay with us. A lot more to come.
If you are a proud Joy sponsor, this could be your business being promoted on air right now. Call 1300-JOY-949 and chat to the Joy sales team about becoming a proud Joy sponsor. Spread the word and be heard on Joy. Call 1300-JOY-949. 1300-JOY-949.
Download Joy's free iPhone app, joy.org.au.
Now you are here on Joy 94.9 with Lindsay and Greg and our very special guest, Gary Oliver. And we've got a song for you, Gary. We're going to play with your nomads out bushwalking. Sometimes you might see a snake and you have to bolt. Hopefully it's not during a nude walk. We've got a song for you from it's called Runaways by The Killers here on Joy 94.9. Fabulous song. Stay with us all the way through to one when Pete Dillon joins us for Cravings. Great song. That's Killers with a fabulous song called Runaways, which is a bit like Gary Oliver, our guest today.
Runaways.
Half his life running around town doing stuff. You're not just part of our gay community. You're a bit of a leader, aren't you? A bit of an icon. You're one of the board members at the Southern Star, behind the organisation behind Southern Star newspaper.
Star Observer now.
Star
just
Observer.
Claim it. Yep. Yeah. We're now national.
National.
Yes.
And we've just lost Andy Noonan as well, which is really sad. There's been a lot of shake-ups in gay media recently. Andrew Shaw, Andy Noonan.
We were very disappointed and also happy at the same time for Andy. Mm. She'd applied, second year in a row, she'd applied for an overseas scholarship and she was close to it the first year she put in and this year she was successful and she's off to Mongolia next week.
Wow.
Awesome. East Asia, Mongolia.
She'll be based in. She'll be packing her extra strength winter woolies for that assignment. But for her personally, the whole board was ecstatic on her behalf that we'd bred internally some wonderful journalists that can win those sort of fabulous overseas postings. And full marks to her. I know she'll be missed. The last couple of years, I've helped staff the Star Observer stall at the Midsummer and. I personally was given a lot of feedback from the community about how respected she is within our community. Yes, she will be a loss, but we've recruited a great journalist to take her place in Melbourne, in Ben Dorrington, and Drew Sheldrake, who was in Melbourne for a long time, takes over as the new national editor. So we've been able to develop and add full marks to our management team by both Scott Abrahams, who was there for many years, and now Gary Stocks, and been able to identify a good talent, bring them in, nurture them, develop them, so that we can promote from within. And as a board member, I'm very proud of that we can develop those people inside our organisation.
Well, the wheels in our community, Linz and Gary, they move around, and this woman, this
big
talented
wheels keep
woman,
on turning.
They do keep on turning. She'll be back. The wheels will bring her back with more capacity, extra skills from her stint in Mongolia.
I think her partner might want her back. There'll be some pressure there, but no. If you try and box people in and stick them in a spot, and you've got to let them stretch out and reach their full potential.
And it's also good for the community as well, because we all, Greg, you'd agree, and Gary, I think you'd agree that we hold these positions for some time, and you become stale, and your own ideas run out, and sometimes it is time just to move away. And when she comes back, and she will come back, as Greg said, she'll bring back a wealth of new talent and potential to the community, and I think that's it's only good for us.
Sure is.
And she has been a guest, of course. Andy, will shout out to you, and good luck and safe trails, as Linda would say, because she's been a guest on Detours before.
She's flying Korean to Seoul and then changing there. I found out last night at Adidal farewell drinks to wish her well.
Well done. Well, stay with us, because we've got a song for Andy coming up probably in about 7 or 8 minutes. It's Like Money from the Wonder Girls featuring Akon, which is a Korean band that's making it big in Japan. And, very interesting for her, about to embark on a Korean Airways flight. Good luck. Now, Gary, your journeys have not really scratched much of where you're going to go in the future. There's so much more for Gary Oliver. What's the next round of episodes in your life that you're going to be exploring?
I've just come back from 5 weeks in Europe and was spoiled. One of the best holidays I've had. There was six of us travelling around, six gay men.
I like the way you did that.
Well, we go and enjoy ourselves. Four friends from Perth, two gay couples over there. For those looking for the gay marriage stat, my closest friends have been together for over 30 years as a couple, and we've travelled lots of times together. And I go over there, they come over here for short breaks, and we don't promote who we are, but we don't sort of say, oh, we can't go and do straight things because we're gay. So we normally cause a twitch of the eye when you sit down for dinner. There's six, in this case, six of us, and the questions get asked, what are six lovely men like you doing together? And my friend from Perth always pipes up very quickly, we're proctologists off to a proctology convention. And that just leaves them stunned, and they just shake their head and say, oh, that's very nice, and walk away.
A lovely extension of truth.
So, we had a fabulous time in Europe and enjoyed ourselves. So I've got the Star Observer position, and I've got I only ever take on one community post at a time, and I normally have a break between what I do. So I'm into my third year on the board there, and loving that, and there's still plenty of challenges and I believe a contribution I can make. I'm currently treasurer on the board. Work-wise, I've got a couple of busy months, but after that I'll be sitting down and plotting my next overseas trip.
Awesome. Oh, fabulous. Mm. So your last trip to Europe, what cities did you hit?
Well, the centrepiece was a 15-day cruise on the rivers from Amsterdam down to Budapest.
Oh, wow.
Very relaxing and easy to do. And most of us, I went over early and came back late, so I had some time in France to pick up on a couple of things I missed the last time I was there. So I had a chance at long last to go to Mont Saint-Michel.
Ooh.
On the Brittany coast. And the next day was St. Malo, which was a fabulous walled city. I'm a history buff, so some of these places really appeal to me. Then I went back and had six nights in Paris just to be myself.
Stop.
There's a wonderful gay bed and breakfast website that runs out of Germany. So through that, I was able to find a private apartment. Mm. So I wasn't worried about when the hotel maid was going to be coming in to clean up and stuff like that. So all the comforts of home, kitchen, washing machine to do the laundry and all those menial tasks that you at some stage have to address when you're away. Then we all got into Amsterdam a couple of days before we joined the cruise and had a fun time there. First time for me to Amsterdam. And you just walk around and breathe in the lovely air without having to buy it.
Yeah. The thing that I loved about Amsterdam, Gary, and I don't know about anybody else out there, but Amsterdam was the first city that I actually acknowledged as a people city. That, there's always people in Amsterdam, and, there's old people or older people walking around hand in hand. There's gay people walking around hand in hand. There's lesbians hand in hand. There's, you know what I mean? It is just one of those cities that it's, they say Paris is a city of love, but sometimes I think Amsterdam sort of takes over a bit there. the vitality and...
Well, it's a very, what I'd call, pedestrian city. Mm. So if you're a good walker, you'll get on very well because a lot of the cars are kept out of some of the nicer areas, and it's trams and people, and it's great to be able to get around, and certainly plenty to see and do. And some interesting nightlife.
How do you think?
As well as for the heterosexuals with the red light district. So, I would definitely go back there and use it as a base to explore more of Europe. But in terms of the river cruise, stopped at towns and cities that I've never thought of. You wouldn't open up a map, for example, of Germany and say, well, I'm definitely going to go to Rutenberg and Regensburg. Yet these are fabulous medieval cities. You know, the conservation work that they've done to maintain that medieval look and look after their heritage just leaves you stunned. And then you come back here and you see the fight over the not-in-my-backyard syndrome here. And, we're just miles apart. Even though we are the most European city in Australia, we're a long way to catch up to what they've proud of and make money out of as a tourist attraction.
Absolutely, Gary. And one of the things, like, I love the Tour de France and, you know, I'm just adore it. And one of the main reasons why I think people watch the tour is because of the architecture and the French have such a pride. I mean, you know, these castles and chateaus have been there since the 14th century, even earlier, and there might just be a wall, but they protect it. And it's one thing about, like, I grew up in Williamstown, I've said that before, and one of our battles in Williamstown was to stop people from putting ugly clad on their front, on the front of their houses, and to preserve the streetscape more than anything, so that people would have a sense of, yes, we came from somewhere and this is our past. We don't do that very well at all here.
No, we don't. And talking of the Tour de France, I think the research you've done in France is one of the primary reasons why it's so popular, particularly with TV audiences, is they love watching the scenery as the cyclists go by. It's not so much the Lycra and the bulges and all that sort of stuff. It's a chance to get a visual of... you can buy a tube of porn than that, Lindsay.
Oh, can you? Ooh, we'll have to talk after the show. I feel a bit of education coming on with gay boy sex things.
Now, you're on Detours. That voice is Lindsay Curliffe. I'm Greg Atkins, and our guest is Gary Oliver. Gary is a fabulous Melbourne identity and also with the Nomads group. And song for you now, Gary. We alluded to it before. It's this Korean group called Wonder Girls. And stay with us. Bit of fun. This is... new music to Joy, Like Money with Wonder Girls.
SMS 0427 Joy 949. Our line is open for your feedback.
It is open. It's always open. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. You can always check out the past shows we've had on Detours. You just go to the joy.org.au website, whack a /podcasts, and you can find out all our old shows that are online.
Yeah, I actually like this thing about podcasting because I have to admit I'm not brand loyal to anybody. and I'll do fruit salads, you know, if I'm busy doing something on my computer. And it's great just to go to Joy and just pick out a show that you've never tuned into before, and there it is, podcast, and all of a sudden you're an instant fan. I do that constantly.
I used to like the Two Fat Lattes podcast because Friday night was... to be blunt, a silly time to put those great guys on. So I used to catch up through the podcast process.
Yeah, it was a great show.
They were so hilarious.
Oh, weren't they?
Everywhere I go, I actually meet people that were fans of the Two Fat Lattes. Mm. And they're either in the gay community or they're in the straight community, the people that had never heard Joy before but switched on every week.
I was a fan when they used to do the Saturday morning breakfast show.
Oh, stop. But I have friends who used to, because they couldn't pick up Joy in the home, they'd get in their car and they'd drive around Melbourne while the Two Fat Lattes were on, sipping coffee so they could hear the show. That's the level of commitment from people out there for that show, and not only that show, but for Joy as well, which is fantastic.
Now, we've had a message from Chris all the way up there in Collingwood. Chris wants to know about, Gary, your tips for travel. Seeing you're a walker, seeing you with the Nomads, you obviously have tips for how to pack and how to organise yourself for walking, and you've perhaps used those tips a good stead when you've been travelling the waterways of Europe.
Pack light. pack on day one. Then on day two, open the suitcase again and take half it out. In the early days, I'm travelling around. I was surprised at how many times I've come back and there was stuff in the suitcase I never took out. It's easy to keep yourself fresh and clean with a little bit of overnight laundry in a hotel wash basin and a little bit of detergent. It goes a long way. I'm a great lover of Wikipedia. So if there's places I'm going to, I'll go onto the Wikipedia site or something like that and print off one or two pages with tips for what to do. And I always look at what options a city has in the way of public transport for visitors in terms of special three-day passes and things like that. And as soon as I arrive, check in where I'm staying, get out and start travelling around on the public transport and just picking up a vibe for... it's amazing what you learn by using their public transport, what you can see and just pick up on the place.
Absolutely. Because that's... Actually, I was just discussing very briefly in the 7-Eleven down the road because some travellers have come in after a weekend pass and the girl had no idea and she's trying to sell them a Mikey and they're saying, no, we're only here for the weekend. So we'll just have this for the weekend then. You know, it's just so terrible. Wrong. So okay, you take out half.
Yep.
Because I always end up, you know, packing for the nice hot stopover no matter where I go. You take out half. What is it that you find that intrinsically you need to have in that suitcase no matter what?
7-day supplies of underwear and socks. A toothbrush. I've got a couple of polo shirts that are actually designed for golfers, but they're great. You can rinse them out, and within a couple of hours they're dry. So they're a man-made fibre base. Sorry about that to the sheep farmers, but for travel they're ideal in the sense you don't get dirty. It's more perspiration issues. You just want to freshen them up, and a couple of things like that you can easily wash and wear is ideal. I did buy a travelling iron many years ago. It's sitting in the cupboard. I've got to donate it to somebody. I've never used it. I think I've dragged it around once. But now with the right clothing and what you can now get in irons and boards and stuff in overseas hotels, that was always a feature in Australia but not overseas. Travelling irons are out for me now.
You save yourself 2 kilos.
Yeah, oh, you do. And they're very conscious now of weight on when you're flying.
Have you ever missed a flight, Gary?
Nope. I'm an early bird. I plan ahead and think, well, you know, if the schedule says it'll take so long to get a train or whatever, I'll always get the one before, just in case there's some hiccup. But then not too many cities, particularly in Europe, have disastrous travel public transport like we have here. They run on time and very efficient. Frankfurt Airport. Into Frankfurt, €4.10, and there was a train every 10 minutes.
Wow.
Do you know, I've got a feeling, Gary Oliver, that if I was your travel agent booking you, I'd have to be very careful that the connections were right, because you'd be going through the itinerary with a fine-tooth comb.
I have educated a few travel agents in my time.
Well, it's one of those things that are important. I mean, I know even, you know, like catching a train to the Bendigo line, not so long back, the lines, I don't know what was going on really. There was some drama. So I asked when I bought the ticket, like what platform are we leaving from? She says 18 South or something. So I go and buy a cup of coffee. I come back and I go to 18 South, whatever, and I think, oh my God, that train's going to Traralgon. Lucky I asked again because it had been changed and I had something like 15 seconds to, and believe me, when you're running along with one of those ugly, you know, suitcases on wheels behind you, 15 seconds isn't a long time. They change it again. You know, it's ridiculous.
Now, I wonder if Pete Dillon's ever been late for a train.
Yeah, I was. I actually had to jump over a fence with more than one suitcase, and you've given me a picture lens that will remain with me until I shuffle off this mortal coil. I was in Japan, and I had to physically jump the gate because I had no idea what I was doing or where I was going. So I've got two bags, threw those over the gate, jumped over the gate. I've got Japanese police chasing me everywhere, but I did get my train to Nagano on time.
There you go, see?
Brief. Now, it's interesting you've been talking about out and gallivanting and going away from Melbourne. We're all about the Delicious Produce Awards. They were announced earlier this week from Delicious
Wonderful.
Magazine. So we've got a whole bunch of people to talk to. We're going to speak to the winner of the Gasworks Farmers Market at Albert Park. They got Most Outstanding Market. So this is right across Australia, not just Melbourne. John Sussman, who's a seafood man. We're going to talk to Ella Wolf-Tusker from the Lake House in Daylesford. We'll speak to a man who's growing beautiful shiitake mushrooms in the Otway Forest. loads of people to yak to, all from 1 o'clock.
That's beautiful. Cravings. Oh, look, it's a fabulous show. We are so... I often think they're so privileged to be on just after Detours, but it's really us who are privileged to be on before.
Yeah. And last week, truffles. I know more about truffles now, I know, than anything else. It was a fabulous show last week.
Did you know that truffles and a lot of those other root fungus gradually lost some of their DNA as they started to associate with the trees? A bit like the human species, really. We've lost it all, haven't we?
One of the best features of some of the nomad walks we've done, particularly up in the goldfield areas, May, June period, is walking around and the different colours of the fungi. The colours, the purples, the reds, the oranges and the yellows. You see good old mushrooms in the greengrocer or your supermarket, but to see the wild ones, unedible unfortunately, but the colours are just fantastic.
So you made no soup. You weren't silly enough to think, they look nice. We'll make up a nice,
No, I don't think I'll be here to talk about it, Lynn.
mushroom and onion soup or something.
Now, we had another message from Nance all the way out there in Williamstown. Nance has actually suggested that maybe other groups of people could go along with the nomads. Perhaps photographers could go along with the nomads and use the nomads as a platform to do some of their photography. And maybe even some writers or some people that are into poetry or short stories could go out and get inspiration from the place.
They're more than welcome to join us.
Yeah. How should people contact the Nomads?
On our website, they can register for an event as a visitor, stroke temporary member. We'll slug them $5 for the privilege of being a visitor. We have personal accident and public liability insurance, and part of that condition of that insurance is that any temporary people who come along, we need to get them to sign up a form, and we extract $5 from them to cover that insurance cost. But they're more than welcome to join us.
So it's more. And also Wayward Women Walkers. Do you have any contacts?
Joint events?
Yep.
I'm embarrassed to say no, Linz.
Oh, no. That's terrible. Well, just so there's any women out there who are interested in going on a few bushwalks, how can they... First of all, are you open to women at Nomads?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you are?
Oh,
fabulous.
Yes.
And failing that they, for some reason, don't like you, Gary, won't join your group, how can they contact the Wayward Women?
Just put Wayward Women Walkers in any search engine and they'll find their website very easily.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Now, how should people go to your website? What's the name of the website?
www.thenomadsinc.org.au.
Now, we're going to ask you another time about another enterprise you're part of, and that's called Camp Out.
Camp Co-op.
Camp Co-op here in Melbourne. As a prelude to that, how should people contact Camp Co-op and find out more about that?
There is a Facebook page. And if they leave a message with the secretary at thenomadsinc.org.au, they'll find me.
Fantastic. Well, Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure and delight. I almost feel like putting on those hiking shoes and, doing a trip around the botanical gardens this afternoon. You've got me all inspired. It's been fabulous, Gary. We'll see you soon. Well, we'll be talking to you soon, hopefully. And it's happy trails from me.
And from me. And have a great weekend, Gary.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lynn.
Miss any of your favourite shows? Check out our podcast on the Joy website, joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.